This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Jewish state is fast approaching its 77th birthday, and Jerusalem Post today says that Israel is embracing destiny over survival as it celebrates 77 years of independence since 1948. Despite the legions of enemies who have tried and failed to snuff this miracle out of existence, the 77th birthday lies just ahead. As Israel still fights on many fronts, having survived too many genocidal foes throughout its history, for the first time in nearly eight decades, says the Jerusalem Post, the Jewish nation has shed the illusion of normalcy. It will never be a normal nation. It's a unique people with a special mission. To thrive now means to fully embrace its exceptional status as the sole guardian of Hebraic civilization. Israel remains among the top 10 happiest nations on earth, believe it or not, in spite of the October 7th debacle. Despite four previous generations of Israeli mainstream culture largely untroubled by the gap between Israeliness and Jewishness, the fifth generation now is decisively different. It represents the budding of a Hebraic revival. More than any other outcome of October 7th, this is the true harbinger of an Israel that would no longer be reckoned among and with and by the old standards. The pursuit of normalcy is no longer Israel's goal. It now seeks to build a guardianship over a rebirthed Hebraic civilization that will endure. That's quite a statement coming from the Jerusalem Post after all these years of talking about Israel, the rebirth of Israel, and the restoration of Jerusalem, recapture of the Temple Mount, all of those things. This kind of language is relatively new, from my estimation, and I'm glad that you've joined us here on Viewpoint. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And so today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking concerning about Israel. We're going to be talking about the internals of Israel. We're not going to be talking about wars and rumors of wars per se, but we're going to be talking about what's going on inside Israel and among the Jewish people there. And so to accomplish that, we have invited Nir Salomon to join us. He is actually in Israel as we speak. He is in an area that's relatively new in terms of its building up of a town there, but right on the border of Ramallah, which means he is in, well, close to dangerous territory with the Arab group there. So he is a practicing lawyer, but he is also an executive director of an organization in Israel that is a pro-life group. Now, this is very interesting. Israel has its own pro-life group, and it's headed up by a lawyer. Well, that's interesting in and of itself, because a lot of people don't look upon lawyers very favorably, as yours truly has once confessed. But indeed, Nir is heading that up, and he has a passion for Israel, believing that somehow the pro-life movement is essential to Israel's future. So, Nir, it's good to have you on the program all the way from Yerushalayim or areas near to there.
It is wonderful to be on the program, especially as we usher in a few moments, the 77th birthday. And if I can just share with everybody who's listening, last week in Israel, we commemorated the remembrance and the memorial of the terrible, terrible tragedy in Europe called the Holocaust.
Right.
And today we are in Israeli Remembrance Day for all the soldiers that have fallen since the creation of the state.
Wow.
And there is this unbelievable transition in Israel from Memorial Day to Israeli Independence Day. And we raise the flag at night, and it is absolutely tremendous. And looking at my personal history, my father, who passed away 6 months ago, he was a Holocaust survivor from Luxembourg.
Wow.
And my son today, my son and daughter are fighting in the Israeli Defense Forces. So here we are in this progression of revelation of the Jewish people coming back to the land, and as difficult as the Holocaust was, and it was horrendous, and as difficult as the wars, unfortunately, that Israel needs to continuously battle here in Israel, we are moving in the positive direction of the prophecy that we know God has promised will be revealed in our days, and we are witness to it. 77 years since 1948, we're just moving in the direction of progress. Yes, there are bumps throughout the way, and October 7th was a terrible tragedy, but nonetheless, those savage murderers wanted to kill hundreds of thousands, if not all, of the Jewish people here in Israel. And God has protected us, thank God. He sent us protection in the form of an Iron Dome, in the form of a strong Israeli military, in the form of friends of Israel from in Israel and all around the world. But it is absolutely God's dominion and his everlasting shield over this amazing land and revealing his promise that he's making true on today to the Jewish people returning back to Israel.
Well, it's very amazing. Exciting. You know, we talk about the law of unintended consequences here in America, and the Holocaust, referred to as the Shoah there in Israel, is on the one hand, it was horrific. On the other hand, it has been used, the unintended consequence was to facilitate the rebirth of Israel. And so it's interesting to see how these things happen, that Hashem, God, uses these things in ways that we don't expect, and ultimately his promises, his prophecies, his vision is going to be fulfilled, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a very hard time juxtaposing, other than in the line of time of history, the Holocaust and the creation of the State of Israel, because we obviously do not believe that we need to undergo such atrocities in order to have a rebirth.
Right.
However, it's hard to understand God's plans. And at the end of the day, you know, we have to stand here in awe, just in awe of the progression of the Jewish people that were about to be destroyed in the late 1930s, early 1940s, and today the flourishing of the Jewish nation here in Israel, and the time and time again, I can just tell you, as I'm looking out of my porch right now, we're looking because there's a lot of smog from the fires that have happened today.
Yeah, people don't realize, Nir, that there is a major, major fire going on just outside of Jerusalem, causes us to remember the fires that recently took place in California, where I used to live.
Yeah, I have to say, it's actually scarily eerie to think of it, because I remember those fires in California, and I just couldn't believe how quickly, you know, they spread. And the same thing happened here. It's no longer just outside of Jerusalem. It spread to all kinds of areas. Actually, about 15-minute drive from my house, which is kind of scary. And my children already said maybe we should invite the nearby town that might be evacuating soon.
Yeah.
So at
hospitality.
The end of the day, I'm looking out of my.
Yes, we're going to be back. We got to pick you up right after this break. Hang in there, Nir.
Thank you.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. We know our viewpoint determines destiny. There are no neutral viewpoints. God does not have a neutral viewpoint toward Israel, although a lot of professing Christians somehow believe that there's a total replacement theology, that God has somehow overlooked the Jewish people and the promises that he made there. On the other hand, the prophet Jeremiah made it very clear, as did other of the prophets, that God is so intent on fulfilling his call to bring the Jewish people back after the massive diaspora that took place in 70 AD, that he's going to send out hunters and fishers, whatever it takes, to bring them back to Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. And that's exactly what's happening, isn't it, Nir?
It absolutely is. It's absolutely magnificent. It's amazing. And I just want to share, you know, as I look outside my porch, I started saying, you know, we had several months ago, I'm sure a lot of your listeners remember, there was the unbelievable missile attack from Iran, where we saw hundreds of missiles, ballistic missiles, coming from Iran aimed at Israel. And my son and I actually, I don't know, I can't explain why I did this, but I put my wife and daughters inside of our bomb shelter that we have here. Everybody has to have one in Israel.
Wow.
And my son was a commander in the Golani Brigade, and myself, both with weapons, we were nervous that the neighboring village would come attack us as these missiles were flying in the air. And we all of a sudden saw them explode over us. Now, be it, it was far from the distance, right? It wasn't right over our heads,
right.
But it seemed like that. And when you saw these missiles explode one after the other, it looked like a Star Wars movie. And we realized that here there was an existential threat, and we all felt that even with the technology that Israel has, that God has blessed us with having, we're not going to be able to stop such a concerted attack at one point in time from so many different directions with guided ballistic missiles, and there were absolutely no casualties. That is God's winking his eye, saying, I got you.
Well, it's terrific.
And what I don't understand is, why doesn't the world understand? Well, if that's God winking at his people, then stop poking the bear.
I like that. Nir, it's so good to talk to you. Isn't it interesting that God could use lawyers to speak into the life of their of his people? And, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart back in 1992. He said, son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause of the land as a voice to the church here in America and declaring vision for the nation. And we've been doing that for 30 years now. That will come to pass in just 6 days. We'll have completed 30 years. Speaking of fires, when I was last practicing law in Southern California, the home that I was living in, there just outside Los Angeles, was right in the heart of these latest fires. And believe it or not, it was a two-block street, and our home was in the middle, and our home is the only one standing. The only one standing after those fires. Yeah, it's quite amazing. And I dare say that you're experiencing embers and the red smoke coming up over even your home.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah, been there, done that.
I have to ask you, you mentioned lawyers aren't looked at positively. Could people who know how to plead and are using it like you are, you know, to plead God's case in the world, so people are awakened to God's message. You can't have a better name than that.
Well, thank you very much, because right up there in the heavens, we've got a lawyer who's looking out for us.
Absolutely.
He's pleading our cause, and it's so important. And, of course, you're in the process of pleading the cause of those who might be threatened with discarding their pregnancies and losing out on new life there in Israel. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
Yeah, so the amazing thing, Israel is a very life-embracing country altogether. It's a very life-embracing culture. The people here are very life-embracing. However, and this happens in the United States and all around the world, when women are pressured, usually for financial reasons, into not believing that they can actually provide for their own children. Sometimes women, they're blessed with this motherly instinct that's so strong that they rather terminate the pregnancy than find themselves in a situation that they can't provide for their own children.
Mm.
And that's where we come in, and we come to these mothers and we say, listen, if God has given you a gift and planted that gift in your womb, He has a plan. But in the meantime, when you don't see that plan yet, we will be by your side. We will help you out. So now it's your question. What do you really want? Put aside all of external pressures. What do you really want? 99% of all women will want to keep that child. And that's what we've succeeded in doing in the past 47 years.
Wow.
We've helped save to date 89,500.
Well, we just lost our friend and brother there from Israel. Hopefully you'll be able to connect back. They've had, because of the fires, they have had power outages and so on. So hopefully he'll be able to reconnect with us, and we'll continue on. Let me just pick up from there, indicating that here in the United States, even though Roe versus Wade has been overturned, the net result of it is that abortions are actually up right now in 2024, and they're up. Virginia has had the highest abortion rate in 2024, which is very painful to me. And so our friend Nir Salomon is rejoining us from Israel. It sounds like it was another power outage, Salomon.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, these fires are affecting areas outside of their purview, so I do apologize for
that.
Well,
that's all right. You know, as a former trial lawyer, I've had to flow with a lot of upsetting changes that take place almost instantaneously during a trial. So, we're filling in the gap here. I was just indicating that after the delegitimizing of Roe versus Wade here in this country, actually abortions have increased in 2024, and my own state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, has had the highest rate of abortion, which is very painful to me. The interesting thing about abortion is, and you were indicating mothers having a mothering instinct, wanting to look to the best interests of their children or themselves. What was missing in that conversation is, what is God's interest? And when I go back to the Tanakh, the Old Testament, what I find is, in quite a number of places, very passionate stories regarding children, women who could not have children. And it became the lodestone, so to speak, of entire chapters in the Bible, and the birth of men who otherwise would never have appeared in the Bible. So I think we need to have a bigger viewpoint, and that is, what is God's viewpoint? Because if God is able to save Israel amid October 7th, amid all of the genocidal efforts since 1948, then why isn't he able to provide for a birth, even though the finances may seem limited?
I can't answer that. You're obviously correct. He can. We all in our little enclave, when we face difficulty and hardship, mm-hmm. we think that God can create the world in 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
He can save entire humanity. They can't really provide for my finances. Or how is he going to protect me on my travels? You know, when we as parents see difficulty with our children, we figure, oh, how is God going to help me? My child, you know, is led astray. God can't help me. I have to do something only on my own.
There you
God
go.
God could create the world in 7 days, and he could also help our finances. He can do it all.
See, Nir, what God is really after now, and I'm not talking about just for Jewish people. I'm talking about for all of his creation. What he's really looking for is people who will truly trust him. And he's not having a hard time finding that these days.
I agree. And I think God tells us throughout the Bible, we have specific verses in the Torah about this, that if we think that the world is up to chance, then we get punished. And at the end, the punishment is, let's see you work out this world if I leave it up to chance, right? And none of us want that to be the case.
None of us want
to be left up to chance. Absolutely. So I can share with you that our organization has helped to date over 89,519 women have their children in Israel.
All right. The name of your organization is what?
It's called Ifrat.
And where does that name come from?
I'll tell you exactly, because you just mentioned about the women and the men that wouldn't exist without those women.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And the whole chapter. So Ephrat is one of the names given, we're told by our sages, was given to Miriam, Moses' sister.
Ah.
Moses' sister was not only Moses' sister who sheltered him, we know, as he went into the Nile River,
right.
but she was also a midwife in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the midwife that really gave those women who became pregnant, or a lot of women didn't want to become pregnant because they knew about Pharaoh's decree
right.
to throw into the river every born male.
Mm-hmm.
But this amazing woman, Miriam, said to them, listen, Pharaoh might have a decree, but God, if he put inside your womb a boy, he meant for that boy to be born. Don't be worried. And that's where the name our organization came from, Ephrat, the name of Miriam. And also in the Hebrew language, Ephrat means to be fruitful.
Wow.
So we know that when God puts the fruit in this mother's womb, she can carry it, but sometimes she needs help. That's when we are there for her. You can read a lot of these stories at israelbabies.com, and I'm sure everybody listening will be tremendously, tremendously inspired. But I want to ask you, why do you think in Virginia the abortion rate went up?
Well, I believe that it's because Virginia has become more and more liberal. As the IT industry has grown and come to Northern Virginia and then out along the shoreline, it has drawn many very liberal thinking people that are all about their careers. They're all about themselves, and they do not look at life from God's viewpoint. And I believe that that has set the trajectory over the 30 years that I have been here. And this is, you know, this broadcast airs right off of the birth river of America, the James River. And this is the place. This is the place where things began in 1607. That's right. And that's why God called us to leave California, to come to the birthplace of the nation, to begin to declare this revision across the land. So from sea to not so shining sea. And we have watched this trajectory happen right here in this birth area of the nation, and it's been very painful to watch it. But we stay faithful, we stay true, just like you are there in Eretz Israel. Tell us, a lot of people might not be familiar with that term, Eretz Israel.
It's the land of Israel. That's where we live. That was promised by God to the Jewish people, which, by the way, is not the state. The borders of the state of Israel.
Right.
The borders of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, promised by God in the Bible, obviously includes Gaza, which is all in the news.
Right.
It includes a lot more. It includes the Syrian borders up north. It includes the other side of the Jordan. It's really expansive.
Well, it's probably about 10 times the size of existing Eretz Israel as we know it.
Not quite 10, but it's definitely more than double the size of as we know
right.
Israel. And the truth of the matter is that when we look at what God promised us, I think that's what the enemies are trying to hold on to.
Yeah.
If the Jews return home, then they also have to believe in God's word, because God's word is true in every word. He says. So if some of it becomes true, then maybe all of it is true, and they're trying to fight that reality.
Well, using some legal language, God gave to Abraham the broader meets and bounds of the Israel of promise. And he has not retracted those meets and bounds, which means that even though David and Solomon brought Israel virtually to those meets and bounds ever since, they lost them, and they're going to be regained in order to fulfill God's promise. We'll be back with Nir Solomon
Amen.
In just a moment, talking more about Ephrat and what his ministry is about.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint, friends. We're talking with a very special new friend and guest, Nir Salomon, out there in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, right on the border of Ramallah, which is pretty dangerous territory. Do you and your wife feel the tension there?
I cannot echo your statement of dangerous, because I think that when you live with the Lord, you don't feel that danger. You just have to be cognizant of your surroundings.
Right.
But to feel real danger when you know you're doing the right thing and settling the land, we don't feel like we are in danger.
Isn't that a wonderful statement?
I think all of us, all of humanity, it's not only Jews, all of humanity should know when we walk with the Lord, even when we face adversity, we shouldn't feel danger. He has that in our plans. We have to walk. We have to just continue walking with him.
This is something that I've been trying to urge my professing Christian brothers and sisters here, because fear has torment, the Bible says. And we are not supposed to walk in fear. We're supposed to walk in faith, trusting God at every turn. When we read the Psalms, we read about the second king of Israel, David. And yes, he pours out his heart. Lord, why are they increased that trouble me? Why are they that say of my soul, there's no help for me in God? But then he resolves all of his concerns by saying, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. And that's how we should be responding, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to live in faith. And I think that when we, again, I can't say that I'm never fearful, but we need to strive to not make ourselves afraid. I'll tell you, when my son went first into battle, and so I shared with him, you know, that one, according to Jewish law, when you walk into battle, you have to forget about everybody you left behind and know that you are following the Lord's command.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you are not allowed to make yourself fearful. So I told him, it doesn't mean that you can't be afraid here or there. When you face certain things, you become fearful, but you should not make yourself fearful. Don't feed the fear into your mind.
Right.
See the situation and move ahead. I can't imagine, actually, but thinking about the life of my father, may he rest in peace, who for 3.5 weeks was in a cattle car stuck in the border of Portugal without what to eat. People died in the cattle car. Obviously, they did whatever they needed to do to leave themselves in that cattle car, and the conditions were horrendous. And then he finally was saved. He actually grew up in the Dominican Republic, and then he moved to the United States, where he served in the U.S. Air Force, where he was stationed for many years, actually in Alaska, but he also fought in the Korean War. I'm sure he faced fear. And then when he moved to Israel, he served in Israel in the Yom Kippur War. And I asked him, you know, weren't you fearful throughout time? He says, all I had to make sure is that I am walking in faith. And if I'm doing the right thing, then yeah, there are situations that are, you know, fear kicks in, but you're never sunken into that fear. And how much anxiety do we see today in the world that people are really losing it? Depression
yep, exactly.
is on a rise. Suicide is on a rise. But if what should be on a rise is walking with God, That's a cure for all of that. You don't need Xanax and all kinds of other medications. You know, God could actually solve these problems.
Yeah, we might actually want to spend some time in God's Word to encourage ourselves like David did in God's Word. And that's what I do every day. Every single day my wife and I spend quality time. First thing we do in God's Word and in prayer, that's our foundation and has always been our foundation. And it's such a delight to be able to chat with you, near. I feel that you really are near here. To make a play on words. Recently, our president appointed Mike Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas, to be the ambassador to Israel. How is that set there in Israel?
You know, I was asked this several times, and I can't speak on behalf of all of Israel.
Right.
But what I can say is in the circles that I am around, people see this as another progression of biblical prophecy being unveiled.
Wow.
The fact that you have an ambassador that comes to Israel and its first action is to take a note from the President of the United States and put it in the Kotel, in the Western Wall, which is not the holiest site for Jews. The holiest site is on the top, on the Temple Mount.
The Temple Mount.
This is the site where... The Temple Mount, not on the bottom. That's where, you know, everybody talks about the mosques.
Right.
These mosques do not appear in the Quran even once. Jerusalem does not appear in the Quran even once. Jerusalem is obviously extremely central to Judaism, and Christianity has, you know, its connection with Jerusalem as well.
Well, it's also the place where God chose to put his name there, and when God makes a choice, we don't have a choice to contravene that. In Psalm 2, we hear the question, why do the people rage and the people imagine a vain and foolish thing? The nations of the earth and their leaders join together against the Lord and against his anointed Israel, saying, let's tear them apart. But God's going to have them in derision. He's going to laugh at them. And then he says, yet I have set my king on my holy hill. So while all these nations are trying to take over the Temple Mount, including the Vatican, take over the Temple Mount, God says, yet, hey, why don't you guys get it through their thick heads? I'm God, and I've already ordained that my king shall sit on my holy hill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cannot agree with you more. So here comes Mike Huckabee, puts a note in the Western Wall, hopefully looking up, waiting for the day God reigns again on the top of the hill.
But then
goes to a Christian ceremony, which I find that no less important. And I'll tell you why. I'm a proud Israeli, but I'm also a proud American. Mm-hmm. And as a proud American, I think he brought back religion into America as it always was. When President Obama came around and wasn't even willing to wish Merry Christmas, but just said, you know, Happy Holidays, whatever that means.
Right.
I don't even know what he was referring to there. All of a sudden comes Mike Huckabee and says, I am here, a religious, devout Christian, supporter of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Everything just becomes clearer. We're aligning the stars for Revelation to just continue unfold.
All right.
So we were very excited.
Well, that's wonderful. And he's a fine fella, loves the Lord.
Absolutely.
And I think has the proper viewpoint, a biblical viewpoint for this whole thing. I'm looking at a Jerusalem Post article that came out a couple of weeks ago. Christians do more for Zionism and Israel than Reform and secular Jews. What would you say?
I cannot agree with that. I cannot agree with that. And I think that's trying to incite some kind of conflict.
Okay.
Because in Israel, there is a little bit of, or a lot, I would say, a skepticism towards Christian support.
Oh, I agree with that. I understand that because they believe that somehow there's ulterior motives.
Correct.
Yeah.
And therefore, I think here there's a little bit of a hinting at creating a conflict within the Jewish community. And for myself, as somebody who builds a lot of bridges with my Christian friends, especially in the pro-life movement,
right,
I think that that was just to trying to instigate. There are a lot of Christians that do wonderful for Israel, and there are a lot of Jews that might not be Orthodox. I'm an Orthodox Jew, might not be Orthodox, but also are big supporters of Israel, try to be, you know, very aligned with Israel. And then, unfortunately, there are Jews, just like there are Christians, that stray from God's word, unfortunately. When you stray from God's word, you start getting everything confused. everything
you got that right, brother. You got that right for sure. So let's go back to Ifrat and your mission with regard to those with, you call them unplanned pregnancy. I suppose in one sense that almost every pregnancy historically has been unplanned because that's not how it was set out. This whole idea of unplanned pregnancy is a modern invention because of what happened in the 1960s with birth control and so on. But it's a real situation. We have it here in this country. It goes along with, I think, the spirit of it's all about me. It's all about selfishness. It's all about my feelings. It's all about my welfare at the moment. And we have lost the vision for the generations, lost the vision for the greater family, lost the vision for what God can do. I mean, it was God himself who in Genesis chapter 1 said, be fruitful and multiply.
Correct.
What say you?
Let me suggest something that might sound a little bit controversial. just a little. But I think it's a very important look at the current situation. You are right. This world is so pleasure-driven. It's insane. I can even tell you, here in Israel, because it's right before Israel Independence Day and there's a lot of celebrations tonight and tomorrow, and traditionally people go out to the parks and barbecue, etc. So there's a lot of congestion and traffic before these fires broke out, and I'm waiting behind this car, and these two women say to another woman, oh, take the picture. Take a picture. I'm like, excuse me, lady. We're on the road. She stopped in the middle of the road to take pictures. Everybody's about taking pictures and about me and showing Instagram and Facebook and everything.
Selfies.
You know, that is going on.
Selfies.
Selfies, right? It's all always thinking about yourself. I want to suggest,
boy, you and I are on the same page, my friend.
I'm happy to hear that, but I want to flip it around. I also think God is about each and every one of us.
True.
So therefore, he's happy if we are full of joy. And then he gave us the recipe for joy. Just we missed that recipe. What is the recipe for joy? A, to walk with him. B, to have a wonderful, wonderful wife and husband. That creates an in-depth level of joy, and to build a family, which creates immense joy. So
there
you
go.
If you want true joy, that's the path to follow.
Absolutely.
You want to pleasure yourself, that's the path to follow.
All right. We'll be back after this for our final section with Nir Salomon. Friends, what a delight. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
What an incredible delight it is to have Nir Salomon joining us here on Viewpoint today, all the way from just north of Israel, Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. The fires prevailing there, but there's a fire in his own mind and heart to see Israel reborn and fulfill God's intended purpose that has already been declared by the prophets, starting from Moses and going forward. Now, there are several things that I'd like to chat with you about, Nir, as we are in this final section here. First of all, the vision, God's vision for Israel. And I'm going back and I'm thinking about the prophet Balaam or Balaam there in Numbers chapter 23 and 24. Here's a guy who was recognized as a prophet, but he was willing to sell out his prophetic responsibility before God in order to gain personal power, perks, and position with the king of Moab. And finally, after the whole story there, and his foot is crushed by his donkey, and this donkey, God actually has to speak to him through the mouth of the donkey, God then gives him a message that he declares to the king of Moab. And I believe that this message is key for Israel today. And here it is. That is, Israel will not be reckoned among the nations. Israel will not be reckoned among the nations. Now, a lot of people say, well, why would you not want that? Well, it depends on whether you have a national and earthly view or whether you have God's view. God's view was that Israel and the Jewish people be a people unto himself. As it said, even in the New Testament, come ye apart and be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. That's what God intended. But Israel has always tried to be like the nations with their first king of Israel. Now, I'm reading in this article coming from Israel Today, Israel embraces destiny over survival, and that destiny now is being reframed to embrace the exceptional status as the guardian of Hebraic civilization, a unique people with a special mission, not included among the nations, but actually seen special before God. That caught my attention, Nir. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that, again, we all have to walk with God, and the Jewish people's walk is actually before the statement in that verse of not to be reckoned within the nation. It says, Am levadat ishkon, that the people of Israel shall dwell alone.
Yes.
And we have to be prepared for that.
Right.
We have to dwell alone. And unfortunately,
and that's what's happening right
for
now.
So many years. Exactly. And we have to embrace it on some level. And those amazing friends, Christians, especially from the United States, that have come like yourself and have shown so much support and speak about Israel, are joining on the heels of this prophecy being revealed. So we have to be willing to stand here alone. But standing alone means we'll only succeed in that stand if alone means alone with the Lord.
There you go.
We need to know that he is walking us alone throughout that desert.
And that's true for both Jew and Gentile. That's true for both Jew and Gentile who will embrace the Lord. So this is actually, to a sense, bringing us together in a historic merger with prophecy, I think. And I think it's amazing.
I can't agree with you more. It's beautiful how you put it. And not only is it amazing, it's going back to that point of people that are seeking pleasure and want to seek self-fulfillment. You want to self-fulfill yourself? Walk alone with Hashem. If you walk alone with him, you will see yourself being showered with so much blessing, with so much pleasure. And I know you on your show speak a lot about marriage.
Yes.
Marriage creates so much beauty. People want to indulge themselves in physical activities that give them physical pleasure. In the confines of marriage, it's heightened beyond belief. We know that. Research has shown it.
Yes.
So if you follow in the footsteps of the Lord, you're able to actually fulfill those pleasures in the most deepest sense without the need to escape, not to drugs, not to alcohol, and not to any other external addictions. When you do that, you're walking alone with other gods.
My dear friend, I am reaching out right now. I'm reaching out right now across the seas through the airwaves to give you a holy hug.
I'm accepting it with warm embrace.
A report just came through today from the Jerusalem Post. More families with young children are making aliyah. More children, more families with young children. Something very dramatic is taking place. And this goes to the whole issue of the family. It goes to the whole issue of giving birth to those who God has allowed you to be impregnated with. It says it's very impressive. The events of October 7th sparked a wave of solidarity and identification among Jews abroad. People are coming here with tears in their eyes. Of course, anti-Semitism plays a role in motivating people to move, but ultimately they are coming to Israel because they feel it is their home and the place of their joy. What do you say about that?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree, and I don't think that they're moving because of anti-Semitism. Because if I were living today in the U.S., I would not leave because of anti-Semitism. I would stand shoulder to shoulder with anybody who would be willing to fight that anti-Semitism, but I would want to come back home because this is the home for the Jews. And I want to share with you one story
that
I'm sure you'll appreciate.
Please.
During this war, we discovered, remember, we saved close to 90,000 babies from abortion.
Right.
We discovered a lot of these babies, and you could read some of these stories at IsraelBabies.com. But this story highlights exactly what you said, family, blessing, the return home, etc. This is an amazing story. A woman calls us up and tells us the following story. She had three children. She was divorced. Her youngest child was 17, almost going into the army. Everybody has to go into the army at age 18 here in Israel. And she was dating a man who she was going to marry, and they got together. And she had this new plan. I'm going to have a birth life, so to speak, and I'll start traveling with my new partner, and we'll travel the world. And all of a sudden, she became pregnant despite using birth control. And she said, okay, she decided this was not, remember, the selfie, right? This was not my plan. My plan is to go travel, so forget about this. I want to negate God's plan. She picked up the phone to call an abortion clinic. And as she picked up the phone, she was 43 years old. She had a flashback of a lecture she heard from our organization when she was 16 and a half years old about the development of the fetus. And she says, well, how can I do that? She closed the phone. This happened three times until she went to some holy place up in northern Galilee in Israel, and she asked God to send her a sign. And as she walked onto the street after this prayer, a bus passes by. And that bus has a big sign of our organization that says, for a lack of finances, do not terminate your pregnancy. She decides to keep the baby. I'll keep the story very short. She keeps the pregnancy. This baby's born, a beautiful baby boy. But as she came home from the hospital, joyful she had a new baby boy, she was a little upset at God because she wanted to, you know, have a new young life, so to speak. She says the following, 2 years later, when her second daughter became very, very close to this boy, she woke up on October 7th with that daughter missing. Turns out this daughter was in the Nova Festival, and she was murdered by the Hamas savage terrorists. And she said, all I wanted to do is bury myself under the blankets and die. But then I realized I have a young child at home to take care of. And then I thanked God. I said, now I understand your plan. You gave me this child, not that I save him, but that he saves my life after the terrible news on October 7th. So she says, what's most important is when God gives you gifts, embrace them. God sometimes takes away things from you. You don't get to decide. When he took away my daughter, Moriao, may God avenge her death. She said, I was not consulted by God at that time, but I realize now that he gave me a gift that I shouldn't have refused. Thank God I didn't refuse. So when God showers us with gifts, embrace them. And when he meets us up with beautiful women, beautiful men that then become our partner for life, embrace them, love them, build a family with them, with as many children as God decides to give to you, because those are His gifts to you, and you have no idea.
Well, the scripture says, blessed is the man that has a quiver full of them.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, how can folk who are listening to this program be a blessing to you and what you're doing?
So first of all, to help out their neighbors and friends who might be contemplating abortion, give them a hug and help them walk in faith so that they can build their families. Mm-hmm. And if they want to help us directly and help today the situation in Israel by asking God, Hashem, protect the Jewish people. We will protect the unborn. We will help those mothers have those children. Look up IsraelBabies.com. You can read about us. You can contribute financially. When you come to Israel, come visit us, see the great work that we're doing, and spread that word all across the world.
What a voice you are. IsraelBabies.com. And I'm so blessed and encouraged by this conversation. You talked about the Western Wall, but the real concern is what's on top of that wall. About 25 years ago, there was very little interest in the coming of Messiah. Now, my understanding is that that has increased from about 20% to about 65% in Israel, and it's all related to the Temple Mount. What do you see as the status with regard to the rebuilding of a third temple?
I think it's just prayer to God to make sure that He enables that to happen, because the third temple is not, the first and second and the third is not a temple for Jews. This is the house of worship for all humanity. And therefore, we need to have that time, that right time, right moment. We're praying for it. I can tell you that on the shoulders of many soldiers in Israel, besides their rank, besides maybe the unit they're in, they put on a special patch with a picture, or not the picture, but the engraving of the temple.
Wow.
We want God to reign back in this world for all humanity. And so, yeah, so the prayers have increased, and I think it's much more than 60, 70%. I think everybody is searching out in their heart to walk again in the path of God. So we're excited.
Well, what you did not know, Nir, is that yours truly, a few years ago, wrote a book called King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, for it is said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. It is the most fascinating book. I was interviewed by a Jewish talk show host, brought me on for an hour, and halfway through the program, he said, we can't even touch this book in this hour. Would you be willing to come on next week? Guess what? That happened again and again and again. We had 7 hours, 7 weeks in a row interview concerning that book alone from a Jewish talk show host.
Wow.
So here's what I'm going to do.
I want to read it now, and I want to ask you as well.
Well, you and I are going to talk right after we do this program here, and I'm going to get the information where I can send you a copy of that book, my friend.
I would love it.
All right.
I will read it rather quickly.
From one lawyer to another, what a blessing it is. A big thank you for what you're doing out there. And for spirit, your heart, we're with you to try to do everything that God would have us to do together. And friends, pray for this brother, Nir Salomon. Pray for him. You can see that he has a heart for the Lord. He may not see things exactly the way you do, but he has a heart for the Lord, and God is in the process of fulfilling all of his intentions in our lives. That's what he's doing. Don't walk by fear. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Become a partner with us, friends. Amen. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Write to us. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Help us to stay on the air yet for another year. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.